Being afraid and running away seems like a perfectly sensible thing to do. Jesus was really, really dead, and dead people don't rise again. So they were afraid. But Mark doesn't want us to be afraid. In Mark chapters 5 and 6, one of the big themes is Jesus repeatedly teaching us, do not fear, only believe. You don't need to be afraid, even when the most remarkable things happen, because Jesus is remarkable. Instead, you should believe in Jesus. Now, the angel doesn't say that much, but in just a few short words, he says a very great deal. His last words to the women are, just as he told you. What? He told them that he'd rise from the dead? Yeah, he did that. Mark chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus says this, the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. He must be killed, and after 3 days, he will rise again. And he did die. Exactly that way. And he did rise on the third day, if you count in the Jewish way. Not the way we would count, but anyway. It wasn't as if this was a passing comment either. It's not something they could have missed. He said it again in chapter 9, verse 31, and again in even more detail in 10, verses 33 and 34. He told them over and over and over again. But there's more. If you have your Bible open, please just flip back to chapter 14 and verse 28. In verse 27, Jesus says to his disciples, I will be struck and you will be scattered. That's exactly what happened. But then he says, verse 28, after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. By this point in his teaching, he's assuming his death and resurrection. It's going to happen. He's talked about it lots and lots. But he wants to tell his disciples what happens after chapter 16. He wants them to understand the next stage of the story. I will go ahead of you into Galilee, he says. Now notice what the angel says. Go tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. Well, that's a most remarkable promise, isn't it? The disciples, and especially Peter, have just abandoned Jesus. They've run away. They fled the scene. In Peter's case, he was so scared of being questioned by a 12-year-old girl that he ran away. Whilst Jesus faced the full might of the religious leaders of his country. But Jesus has died and risen since then. He's paid the penalty for Peter and for his friends, for their betrayal, for their fear. He's taken their sin upon himself and paid its price fully. We know the price has been fully paid because Jesus raised up to immortal life again. So Jesus can welcome Peter back. The good news of Easter is not just that Jesus rose from the dead, although that is amazing news. It is that Jesus rose from the dead in order to welcome back to him those who've lived as if God is not king. Now, many of you I don't know, and many more I don't know very well. So I don't know whether you've treated Jesus as if he's king of the universe this week or not. Perhaps you use his name as a swear word more often than not. I don't know, but Jesus knows. And one day, every single one of us will meet the risen Lord Jesus as he sits on his throne to judge the living and the dead. That could be quite a scary thing, couldn't it? If we really understood that, we might find ourselves afraid of the resurrected Jesus, just like the ladies in our passage. But that isn't where Mark would leave us. Jesus rises with an offer. He says to his disciples, come to me in Galilee, come to Jesus. But what does it mean to come to Jesus? Well, there's one more passage of Mark that I want to take us back to, one more prediction of his death that Jesus makes. Maybe you could turn there in your Bibles, please do, to chapter 12, verses 1 to 12, page 1017 if you've closed your Bibles. Here Jesus is talking to the people who are going to kill him. He tells them what they're going to do. They don't want Jesus to be king, and they're going to murder him. In the parable, the owner of the vineyard is God. The vineyard owner sends his son. and they will kill him and throw him out of the vineyard. What will the king do? What will God do to the people who killed Jesus? Verse 9, he will come and kill those tenants and give the vineyard to others. Those people who killed Jesus, those who wished Jesus was dead and gone today, are in trouble. And that may be some of us here this morning. The resurrection of Jesus is a threat because it means that you have got a king, whether you like it or not. These people don't like it, and they killed Jesus to get rid of him, which was foolish because Jesus is bigger than death and he rose again. They are in trouble. But notice what Jesus predicts next. Haven't you ever read this passage of scripture? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Jesus was the rejected stone. His killers are the builders who didn't want him to be part of the church. But notice how Jesus' resurrection changes everything. They reject him as unfit for the people of God, but the Lord God himself has made Jesus the cornerstone, that is the important stone that gives shape to the whole rest of the building. He is the centerpiece. He is the new center for the people of God. When the angel in chapter 16 tells the women to get the disciples and come to Galilee, he is telling them to form the new people of God, the church. A people who are forgiven by Jesus, people who are precious to God, people who receive all the promises that God has made for centuries to his people. Do you see? The whole of Jesus' life and the whole of Mark's gospel have been driving towards this one point, to the formation of the church. God's people gathered to his Son, the risen Lord Jesus, a people welcomed home, their sins forgiven, a people treasured by God. But at the same time, another people rejected because they reject Jesus. Our passage this morning is very serious and lays a serious decision in front of every single person in this room, from the oldest to the youngest. It is a question we can answer now, or it is a question you can wait until you meet Jesus on that last day, but you will have to answer it. Why wouldn't you have Jesus as your king? Jesus really, really died. And he really rose again. Extraordinary as that sound, he promised it again and again. And the question before every one of us this morning is, will you have him as your king? Let me pray. Father, I pray for every single one of us here this morning that we would positively answer that question, that we will have Jesus for our king. Lord Jesus, we praise you that you sit on a throne far above all other rule and authority. And you call your people to yourself, even today. And I pray for everyone in this room that we would be your people, forgiven, precious to you. Please, would you make that so for your glory's sake. Amen. If we've understood our passage this morning, then we would want to say it was a glorious